Good morning. Once again, you're listening to Left Turn on Bird Street. We got the EAS figured out. The EAS, by the way, is the Emergency Alert System. So in case you were with us a few minutes ago, the EAS was ticking, 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 ticking away. But there's no emergency. The only emergency is in our head, Tom.
You know how we got this technical stuff straightened out? We asked a woman to come back and show us.
That's right. In any case, you're listening to Left Turn on Bird Street. And as we said a few minutes ago, we're heard every other Saturday on KRBS from 9 until 11 o'clock. They got the time right because last time I kept on saying 8 into 10, which was our old time slot on Monday.
Well, you know, now that we've moved to Saturday from Monday,
right,
cuts out the hangovers.
That's true. In fact, we can go out and have a few loops after this, but I guess we shouldn't say that in a second.
No. Somebody might be listening.
Right. Before we continue, though, there's something we need to say. We need to read our disclaimer. Okay? Can I read the disclaimer?
Sure. Go right ahead.
Okay, great. The disclaimer is, the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily reflect the views or opinion of KRBS, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, or underwriters. But they really should. So, in any case, thanks for joining us today. As you may be aware, we've gone on some changes here. And we're heard Saturdays now. And the program is also... for our Oroville listeners, you might want to pass along to your friends that all the programs on KRBS can now be heard on Live 365. So if you go to the KRBS website and click on Listen to It Live 365, it'll take you to the 365 link. And 365, I believe you have to register for it, because last night I went on and listened to Democracy Now! At about 6 o'clock and heard Marianne doing the narration in the breaks. So if you have friends outside of the listening area of Oroville, have them go to the Radio Bird Street website and then click on the Live 365 link, and you can listen to us any place in the world, which is really a fantastic thing. So, Tom, we got a guest this morning. Why don't you tell us, we're not going to bring him in yet, but tell our listening audience who our guest is and what he's doing here.
Well, our guest today is Matt Wilson. He's a student at Butte College, and he is a young filmmaker. And he's here to tell us about a new film that he's released. It's not a long one, so his description can't be very long either. Anyway, he's a media major at Butte College, and he's got a website, and he'll talk about his new movie or short film.
Short film?
What were those?
Documentary?
No, those are if they're factual.
Factual? Just ask him. He's right there.
Matt?
Short film.
What?
Oh, short film.
I used the right word.
Right there. What are you looking at me for?
Anyway, the title is Serial Killer. So now, that's a visual pun because it's C-E-R-E-A-L. I guess it's about a man who would kill for his cereal.
Well, either that, I'm just going to make a leap of faith here. And Matt looks like he's a very young guy. Cereal, like breakfast cereal sort of thing. It's going to be about Cocoa Puffs and all these other sugar-laden things that kill you. Kind of like the movie. This is just a guess. This is a teaser to keep you tuned, by the way. Is it a serial killer such like sugar-laden cereals that they hawk on Saturday morning cartoons? Is it that? That's my guess. That's my guess.
It's somewhat differently
okay.
put together. But you'll see.
Okay, we'll see.
No, you'll hear about it.
Okay.
You know, we've got to get everything in here. We need a film board here. And anyway, so what do we have today now?
Well, the first thing we want to talk about is the Bush administration's illegal use of wiretapping on its citizens. This is a story that's been out now for 2 or 3 weeks. Now, I guess it broke right during Christmas time, so it's been out for about a month. And the Bush administration has acknowledged that they have used the NSA, which is the National Security Administration. And the National Security Administration is one of these agencies that's There's little known of it other than it's an electronic eavesdropping, and their mission is to electronically monitor signals from around the world, but by law they are not permitted to turn the capabilities they have inward, in other words, on its citizens or on activities within the United States. Its mission is exclusively to monitor international signals, telephone calls, cell calls, the internet, any sort of way that messages are passed from one group to the other. The Bush administration, and I guess it was right around Christmas, wasn't it, Tom? The week of Christmas?
A little bit after.
Yeah, it's been about a month now. Basically acknowledge, just a side note, they acknowledge a story that the New York Times published, which they actually sat on, the Times actually
for a year.
Sat on for 1 year. 1 year.
You know, I have some thoughts on that.
Go right ahead.
Well, they sat on it for a year, not only to please the president, and it got him past the election, so he didn't suffer during that, but also it created a advertising opportunity for the release of the book that was to follow the article by their reporter.
Right.
And so it's not only not very good for the usual American citizen, it's so commercial,
right,
and so self-serving that your estimation for the New York Times has to sink considerably.
Well, you know, just a side tangent on the New York Times, they're very disappointing. That news organization, I think, has lost, in my eyes anyhow, lost a lot of its luster and credibility. But not only this, the way they handled Judith Miller, then going back to that Jason Blair character 2 or 3 years ago who fabricated the stories about the young lady who was shot in Iraq. I mean, it's
I don't know, Dan. I kind of like that guy. I like his approach to the news.
Well, that's true. He just kind of sat in his apartment in Brooklyn.
Make it right. You know, I mean, make it exciting.
Right. But, you know, getting back to the main thrust of the story, what amazes me about this whole thing, there's several things that amaze me. It's first of all, the Bush administration is basically justifying breaking the law. This is the law. You know, if nothing else, if they want to break the law, well, first of all, they're saying they're above the law. If they want to do things differently, at least change the law. You know, at least try to change it, which they probably could change it because they have a very obedient Republican and, for that matter, obedient congressional Democrats who would probably go along with it.
Well, you know,
at least change the darn law.
When they did admit to it, they've only admitted that it starts right after 9/11. Actually, I suspect it started way long before that.
Right.
And, of course, they're not investigating the NSA for doing it. That would be themselves. They're investigating the newspaper and the reporter for, and the person who may have told them about it.
Right.
For telling him about it.
Right.
And then telling the public, so what?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. The person who reported on it is the focus of it, where instead of focusing on the government wrongdoing, and, you know, the other part of this that is truly amazing to me is, I think for the most part, your average American garden variety person sitting in front of the TV watching CNN and Fox News just doesn't care. They don't get it. They just don't understand. I'll give you a really good example. And this is maybe a little self-serving, but my son Bill, who is in eighth grade, and he's...
He was Billy, now he's Bill?
Well, actually he's Will. He's Will now. He's
Will. Will. Oh.
Can't say Billy. Yeah, he was Billy, then he's Bill, now he's Will.
Oh.
So he's Will. You know, he
must be like a foot taller.
Yeah, he is, right. But he's in his eighth grade civics class, they're studying the Constitution, and he actually has, in spite of what his grades sometimes show, much to our concern, is a bright guy. And they're studying the Constitution, and he's been asking me a lot about it. He says, hey Dad, how come... If it's written in the Constitution that the president can't break the law, you can't have illegal search and seizures, why are they getting away with it? He says, can't something be done about it? And I have no good answer for him.
I do.
What's that?
Nobody's bitching.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, basically, that's what I told him. I said, well, until somebody, you know, really starts complaining about it. And this week, there have been a few lawsuits filed by the ACLU, one which was in Detroit, and I'm not sure where the other one was filed. So there is some legal action on it. But even aside from the lawsuits that were filed this week, people basically don't care. They really don't care. They say, well, you know, sure, it's fine. They can spy me. I've got nothing to hide. You know, I'm not a terrorist. If this is what it's going to take to capture the terrorists, I'm all for it. And it's just this type of thinking is so so widespread that in itself is threatening.
We've talked about this.
Scary.
We've talked about this before. You know why that is? Because it doesn't touch them.
Right.
You know, people don't realize, first of all, that they could be... You could be listened to right now, for one thing, and but it just doesn't touch them. I mean, it didn't interfere with them getting to the shopping mall,
right?
And it didn't lower their pay, and it didn't make things more expensive. So why should they care? And that wasn't the only way that spying on Americans has been expanded that we learned about this week.
Right.
What happened with the spying on the internet?
Right. Well, here's a story from the San Jose Mercury News. And San Jose Mercury News, obviously, you know, San Jose, the heart of the Silicon Valley, where a lot of this stuff starts. And
where Yahoo
is invented.
Google is.
Right. Feds after Google data. This is a story by Howard Mintz, and let me read just a little bit for you. The Bush administration on Wednesday asked a federal judge to order Google, the huge search engine on the internet, the internets, to turn over a broad range of material from its closely guarded databases. The move is part of a government effort to revive an internet child protection law struck down 2 years ago by the U.S. Supreme Court.
We only do it for the children.
What about the children? What about the children? The law was meant to punish online pornography sites that make their content accessible to minors. The government contends it needs the Google data to determine how often pornography shows up in online searches. In court papers filed in the U.S. District Court in San Jose, Justice Department lawyers revealed that Google... good for them, has refused to comply with the subpoena issued last year for the records, which include a request for 1 million random.
Oh.
Random. It's not like they're looking at specific people. Random addresses and records for all Google searches from any 1 week period.
It's randomly selected from people whose last names begin with G-O-U and N-A-D.
Or A-L-I, perhaps. The Mountain View-based search and advertising giant opposes releasing the information on a variety of grounds, saying it would violate the privacy rights of its users and reveal company trade secrets, according to court documents. Nicole Wong, an associate general counsel for Google, said the company will fight the government's effort, quote, vigorously. Google is not part of this lawsuit, and the demand for this information is overreaching, Wong said. The case worries privacy advocates, no kidding, given the vast amount of information Google and other search engines know about their users. You know, this is just amazing to me on several different levels. First of all, they're using, you're right, what about the children? What about the children? They're using internet pornography. First of all, let's just back up for a second. Just as a side note, you know, I was in Salt Lake City last weekend. I went there for pleasure. I met
exciting times.
Very exciting times. But we stayed at the Marriott Hotel, which is owned by the Mormons. It's a nice hotel and everything like that.
Clean. I bet it's clean.
Clean. Somebody asked me what it was like being in Salt Lake City, and I said, well, it was really white. It was snowing, you know, so it was white.
And all the people are white.
99% of the people were white. But getting back to it, At Marriott hotels, they have DirecTV, and in your room in Salt Lake City, you can get adult movies on direct satellite. And of course, they charge you $25 for it. And you know who owns DirecTV? Any guess?
George Bush?
No, but close. And I'd have to double check this, but DirecTV satellite, if I'm not mistaken, is owned by the News Corporation.
Oh, which is Rupert Murdoch.
So this is, I mean, this is really big business, you know. I mean, so when they say they're going after this on the internet, it's, to me, why don't they go after hotels where they're showing it, where kids can stay in the room and watch it, where their parents are out having dinner? It's a sham. You know, it's just a big sham.
Well, you know, that whole thing about hotels and pornography, or at least sexy movies in Salt Lake City.
Right.
A number of years ago, I went back with someone on a film trip to take shoot film for a television ad about, and also some still shots about newly built houses around Salt Lake City for a company that sold goods that went into houses. And so I expected, having heard a little bit about the Mormons in advance, that it would be liquor free.
Right.
We got to these new houses, not yet occupied, and these were palatial people. Very nice look, nice places, and somewhat palatial, but they all look like they're from the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
But each one had a installed bar on the first floor and a bar in the master bedroom. And I figured, well, I think that's all a show.
Yeah.
Out there, they say, I'm liquor free, but at home, who knows?
Hey, how do you think you end up with so many kids? You got to have a little liquor never hurts.
But my first question to the young lady that I was accompanying there, she was the director, was that, okay, I can see having the bar in the living room for your guests, but are your guests drinking in your bedroom too? And do you know about this? And who are they? And have you talked to your wife about this?
But the getting back to the pornography thing and the Google, Google's refusal to comply with the subpoena. First of all, hats off to Google. I'm glad they're doing it, because Google is by far the largest, By leaps and bounds, far larger than Yahoo.
And I think that just that's just so we can say we did, that they'll fold on this real quick.
You think they will?
Yeah.
Well, in any case, the government now is after the information in Google, Yahoo, MSN, I think even AOL. And, you know, if this isn't evidence, first of all, they say it's for pornography. Maybe it is part for pornography, but that's just the surface. You know, it's something much deeper. They're looking for people.
That's another one of those No Child Left Behind titles that looks like it's for the children, but actually is to take money out of the school system.
Right. Not trying to sound like to turn this into conspiracy hour, but I really think what they're trying to do is zero in on political dissidents in the United States and go in there and monitor them. You know, they can easily go to, you know, millions of blogs, monitor these things, monitor what our what we're saying. Probably not us, because we're not that big of a blog, but you never know. They could be monitoring all sorts of people with our knowledge. Nothing too small. And yet, again, the part that still amazes me on this is how people are so willing just to, you know, cave and not say, you know, not complain, not do anything about this. It truly amazes me. And we are so quickly giving up our civil liberties without a fight. They're basically taking over. I mean, it's amazing to me. And on the way up here, we're talking about this. If you, some of our listeners may recall, during the Clinton administration, I want to say it was in 96, 97, somewhere in there, about 9, 10 years ago, Clinton proposed something that was called at the time the Clipper chip.
Right.
And what he wanted to do with this Clipper chip is have it installed in every basically personal computer and every cars, all sorts of things, that only the government knew what the codes were, so they could go in there and access this information unrestrained. And at the time, civil libertarians, conservatives, Republicans, Democrats, liberals, everybody said, this is just too much. That's too much intrusion.
But you know, Dan, the reason behind all that is you had a Democratic president,
right,
and a Republican Congress,
right,
and it was a pre-election year, and they were able to use that and were willing to do it. Now you have a Republican president and would-be Republican Democratic Party.
right?
And they want things just as they are. They're folding.
Well, you know, this is the part that I don't understand, you know, and we've discussed this too, is a true conservative, really a true conservative is somebody who, you know, what they, these are their core beliefs, you know, a smaller government, less taxes, and
Well, that's the theory behind
it. Well, hear me out. You know, smaller government, less taxes, and freedom from government intrusion. You know, I mean, that's part of their spiel, and it always has been. Government interfering with your life too much. And for so many of the conservatives to just bend over on this, you know, are these people themselves being scared by Bush, or are they just going along with the flow?
I just don't go along with that for this reason, is that Republicans, even back when it was a Eisenhower administration, mm-hmm. were keeping government out of your pocket,
right?
But more cops on the street. So they don't mind government interfering with your life so long as it isn't their income.
Well, I don't know. I disagree with you because there are some Republicans that will say, don't interfere with my life. You know, I believe there's a certain percentage of them. But that branch of the Republican Party is gone. It's history. What maybe few that were there, if you would, and you taking your position, those who did occupy that position are gone, and they're just so willing to give up their civil rights, the right to privacy, and I can't understand why somebody be so willing, other than they just don't care.
You know, we need to find a Republican someplace and ask them.
We should. If there's any Republicans out in our listening area, call us in at 530-534-1200
and explain yourself.
Explain yourself. Tell us why you would. You're more than willing to give up yourself. You know, our country's in many cases hard fought rights, civil liberties, just because President Bush says so. You're so willing to give it up. So I don't know. We that's enough on that. But you know, there's another thing I want to bring up along these lines. You know, if Bush, you know, let's just say alleged, but he did. Has broken the law. Why aren't the Democrats out there crying, using this as their midterm rallying call, impeach Bush? I mean, polls are beginning to show that over 50% of the American population is willing to at least look at impeachment proceedings. Why aren't, what have they got to lose? What have they got to lose other than their cushy jobs?
Molly Ivins has a great column, mm-hmm. and I was going to print it out, but I didn't, in which she lists the polling statistics that reveal how many Americans are opposed to the actions that have been taken, the troops in Iraq, 85%. It goes down a long list of things that mm-hmm. all the actions that Bush has going and aren't doing anything about it.
Right.
And so she's raising the same question you are. Is, well, if you think the opposite of that, why aren't you doing anything?
Right.
I'm saying they don't really believe something differently. They are just happy to go along with what's going on because that keeps the money flowing into the campaign.
They being the Democrats.
Democrats,
yeah.
Yes.
Well, that could be. I mean, because...
And the Republicans are keeping quiet because... That's really what they're for, and it keeps the money coming into their campaigns.
So basically what you're saying is, obviously the Republicans and the Democrats are kind of for the status quo.
Well, the system right now, as it's operating, mm-hmm. not as it was set up originally, but mm-hmm. as it's operating now, is functioning to the benefit of the people who... push the buttons.
Right.
Okay. And nobody ever wants their income to change, or certainly not go down, or pass on power to somebody else, or open up the house to people to come in and sit on your sofa.
Mm-hmm.
So they like it as it's going, even though they may not be entirely in charge. At least it's the way that it's working for them right now. That's why it's working for them. So they don't care if it works for anybody else.
Well, it really is a crying shame, because if ever a, you know, in my lifetime, Nixon and now Bush the second, if ever a president really deserved and really needed to be impeached, is now. I mean, you have a person who has basically admitted to breaking the law and saying they are above the law, and people just don't care. I mean, what does that indicate for the future of what democracy we have left?
Well, they've asked the Democrats I'm talking about now, mm-hmm. and this also applies to the Republicans, is we're asking questions. Why isn't he impeached? And they're saying, collectively, what's in it for me? And so far, nobody's made it disadvantageous.
That's like a George W. Bush word. Strategery. Yeah, we got some strategery going here. Strategery. Yeah, that's what we're all about. In fact, here's... Go ahead.
Here's Marianne has printed this out for us. Mm-hmm. There's a little list that... if I put my glasses on, maybe I can just read it off. Just some of the parties and amounts, because this is really interesting. The Democrats claim to be the courageous party. She's likening them, or they're claiming that they want to liken themselves to.
Who is she?
Molly Ivins. Okay. Is a Creators Syndicate columnist who's syndicated in a lot of newspapers. She's on TV. I actually met her once. But anyway, she considers Gene McCarthy a real courageous politician, because he spoke out when the times, when the chips were down, and it wasn't good for him. But anyway, she's saying that what kind of courage does it take for the majority of American people, the Democrats are saying we're waiting for the majority of people to swing our way. She's saying, what kind of courage does it take when the majority of the American people, 55%, think the war in Iraq is a mistake and that we should get out? The majority, 55%, of American people want single-payer health care and are willing to pay for more taxes to get it. The majority, 86% of the American people, favor raising the minimum wage. The majority of the American people, 60%, favor repealing Bush's tax cuts, or at least those that go only to the rich. The majority, 66%, wants to reduce the deficit, not by cutting domestic spending, but by reducing Pentagon spending or raising taxes. The majority, 77%, thinks we should do whatever it takes to protect the environment. The majority, 87%, thinks big oil companies are gouging consumers and would support a windfall's profit tax. That is the center, which the Democrats claim they're waiting to swing over to them. And so that whole position of the Democratic Party is foolishness.
So I see what you're saying. Basically, the numbers tilt in their favor. They're not wanting to use this.
Democrats are when you ask them, saying, well, we're waiting for the people to come our way.
People are their way.
People there and are already gone way beyond them. They're just shilly-shallying.
So you have no faith that the Democrats are going to be able to do
anything?
Democrats
are gone.
Gone?
Gone. Party's gone.
Okay, so what do we do, progressive liberals, whatever you want to call, where do we go to change things then? I mean, party? We don't really have a viable third party.
Here's what we do. We get a radio show.
Yeah.
And we talk endlessly about it. And swing the two people who listen to us over to our side and start from there. From there on out, it's only up.
Maybe we can have a radio-a-thon on KRBS. You know, we could take the 12 to 6, 12 midnight to 6 a.m. slot and get all the insomniacs here in Oroville. And there's got to be some around the world listening to us on Live 365, right? And you know, we're heard down in Salida on KQRP.
And not only that, but we're on the web, so worldwide, and broadcasting to all kinds of people who can't vote.
That's right. Well, we could get world opinion behind us.
Maybe we can get ourselves invaded by somebody who does it right.
Did you ever see that movie, what was the name of the
Wag
movie?
Wag the Dog?
No, well, that was good. This one with Peter Sellers in the early 60s.
Dr. Strangelove?
No, well, not that one. It was the Mouse That Roared.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. The
one that thought that they would declare war.
Well, they had a bad grape harvest, and their wine was bad that year, so they needed money, so they decided to invade the United States so they could get some aid after they lost, but they conquered the United States because...
great movie.
Yeah, anyhow... You're listening to Left Turn on Bird Street on KRBS 107.1 FM in Oroville, California. And as I alluded to, we're also heard on KQRP in Salida, California. Thanks very much for joining us. Our program is also heard on Live 365, thanks to the efforts of KRBS. We can now be heard around the world.
How's our guy in Cherry Hill?
Oh, WCRB, Carl Van Orden. Yes, Carl plays
pen pal.
Our pen pal in Cherry Hill, Pennsylvania.
He's still getting an antenna.
He's got problems with the antenna Nazis. So
yeah, the people in his trailer park don't want him to put up, so he's burying it.
That guy is a genius. We should call him and interview him, because the guy, he's the type of guy, if you were
we'll
in warfare,
America, yeah,
you'd want to be with him, because the guy has a lot of ingenuity, you know. He's working the system very well. But anyhow, we're going to take a very short break right now. So you're listening to Left Turn on Bird Street, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Thank you. Brad Johnson. I'm a radio engineer from Modesto, California, and I'm involved with KQRP-LP in Salida, California, just out of Modesto. And I'd like to send a big welcome up to Oroville and KRBS, Radio Bird Street at 107.1 FM, another great community radio station.
Hi.
Well, thank you, Brad. And that is Brad Johnson from our affiliate at KQRP. And I've been pronouncing it wrong, Salida. I've been pronouncing it Salida. It's Salida, which is...
I've been trying to tell you about that, Dan.
No, you haven't, Tom. You're just...
Yes,
no, okay.
Oh, yes.
So
I'm right, you're wrong.
Brad, okay. I was wrong. Tom was right. But anyhow, thanks for listening, and thanks for picking up Left Turn on Bird Street. Anyhow, we're in the last segment of our first hour here, and we're just going to continue our conversation a little bit about the NSA, the people willing
spies. They're all around.
They're all around. Paranoia.
At 10 o'clock, we'll come back and talk to Matt Wilson, who's been shooting us.
Shooting us. Not with a gun, though, Mr. Negroponte. Not with a gun. Although Mr. Negroponte might, well, I'm not going to go there because I don't want them to say anything bad. But anyhow, I want to continue.
The opinions expressed here, by the way, are ours only. Nobody else is responsible for them or would hold them.
Right. But they should. But they really should.
And the station certainly wouldn't.
No, you're right. Anyhow, I want to continue on this theme where we were kind of alluding to it before we played our little Superman song in Kryptonite. Where is this all leading? Well, according to one person, Doug Thompson, the publisher of the Capitol Hill Blue, which is a really, it's on the web, and it's a really fine publication. He has a story titled, published January 13th, Bush Could Seize Absolute Control of U.S. Government.
This is where he believes for his case.
Yeah, this is where he believes this is all headed. And let me read it from you. Again, this is Doug Thompson. Read it for you. Thank you. God, I'm getting my words mangled up.
You're like me.
Yeah, well, we're just following our president. You know, we're just strategery here. We have some strategery here.
Well, I'm going to make the assumption. Long ago, I heard somebody say in an interview, assermumption.
Assermumption.
Assermumption. And I thought that was a word that would fit into Bush's vocabulary.
Yeah. Okay. You know, just a side thought. You know, the word actually the previous dumbest president brought it into our vernacular. Warren Harding, normalcy.
Normalcy.
It's not a real word. He brought it in, and now you hear people talking, "Well, we're going to get things back to normalcy here." And that was his that's what he talked about. Warren Harding. He was
proof positive that the people are really stupider right. than the stupidest president.
And the intellectuals are using this, too. But apparently Warren Harding was a good-looking man, kind of empty upside, but we're not going to go there. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, let me read a little bit of this. President George W. Bush has signed executive orders giving him sole authority to impose martial law, suspend habeas corpus, and ignore the Posse Comitatus Act that prohibits deployment of U.S. troops on American streets. This could give him absolute dictatorial power over the government with no checks and balances. Hey, hasn't that happened already, kind of, with Katrina?
California has been easing towards that. California is the place we're broadcasting from, if you happen to be on the web.
Right.
The when you started to see the Capitol Guards be switched over to CHP,
oh, right.
That's the California Highway Patrol.
Right.
And then they went from tan uniforms down into black.
Right.
They went into basically
paramilitary.
Paramilitary outfits.
Right. Let me continue reading. Bush discussed imposing martial law on American streets in the aftermath of the 9/11 terrorist attacks by activating national security initiatives put in place by Ronald Reagan during the 1980s. These national security initiatives, hatched in 1982 by controversial Marine Colonel Oliver North, later one of the key players in the Iran-Contra scandal, charged the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, with administering executive orders that allow suspension of the Constitution, implementation of martial law, establishment of internment camps, and the turning of the and turning the government over to the president. John Brinkerhoff, deputy director of FEMA, developed a martial law implementation plan following a template originally developed by former FEMA director Louis Gafrida to battle a national uprising of black militants. Grafita's implementation of martial law called for jailing of at least 21 million African Americans in relocation camps. Brinkerhoff later admitted in an interview with the Miami Herald that President Reagan signed off on the initiatives and they remained in place dormant until George W. Bush took office. Brinkerhoff moved to the Anser Institute for Homeland Security. What is that?
What? Say it again?
Anser Institute for Homeland Security.
That's a...
offshoot of the Heritage Foundation, yeah, I suppose. Right. Following the 9/11 terrorist attacks, provided the Bush White House and the Pentagon with talking points supporting revised national security initiatives that could allow imposition of martial law and suspension of the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878.
They've also rehearsed that already in New Orleans.
Right. The law that is
you
supposed
know what
to...
You they sent in? They sent in...
Blackwater.
Delta forces.
Right. The law that is supposed to forbid use of troops for domestic law enforcement. Brinkerhoff wrote the intentions of the Posse
Comitatus
are misunderstood and misapplied, and that U.S. has in times of national emergency the full and absolute authority to send troops into American streets to enforce order and maintain the peace. Bush used parts of the plans to send troops into the streets of New Orleans following Hurricane Katrina. In addition, FEMA hired special forces personnel from the mercenary firm Blackwater USA to enforce security. Blackwater USA and its promotional materials, don't you love it? They just have, you know, nice gloss, slick things they go ahead out of trade shows. Anyhow, describes itself as, quote, the most comprehensive professional military law enforcement security, peacekeeping, and stability operations company in the world, unquote.
Do they also protect children from something?
Yeah, right.
It's got to be in there.
Right. What about the children?
Porno protectors.
Blackwater is also a major U.S. contractor in Iraq and has a contract with the Bush White House to provide additional security work on an as-needed basis. The Bush White House, does that mean like
in other words,
what they're doing, Secret Service?
They would be put in place by the Secret Service to protect the president. If, for instance, even Secret Service looked askance at some of the things that Bush was doing.
Right. Well, let me finish the rest of this. Not too much more. The Department of Homeland Security established the Northern Command for National Defense, a wide-ranging program that includes FEMA, the Pentagon, the FBI, the FBI and the National Security Agency. Executive orders already signed by Bush allow the Northern Command to send troops into American streets, seize control of radio, they're coming for us, Tom, and television stations and networks, and impose martial laws in times of national emergency. The authority to declare what is or what is not a national emergency rests entirely with Bush, who does not have to either consult, this is important, or seek the approval of Congress for permission to assume absolute control over the government in the United States. The White House press office would neither confirm nor deny existence of Bush's executive orders or the existence of the Northern Command for National Defense. That means they exist. Neither would the Department of Homeland Security. But my sources within the White House and the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, tell me the plans are in place, ready for implementation when the command comes from the man who keeps telling the American public that he is a wartime president who will do anything in my power to impose his will on the people of the United States. And he has sure made that power will be absolute when it comes to use it. So, there you go.
And 2 points.
Yes.
Was it 1 year or 2 years ago that I first made the point that there would be no 2008 election?
Two and a half years ago, actually, in the infancy of this show.
The way they're moving is that they will find a way
right.
To declare an emergency or some version of, and there will be no 2008.
Well, that's only if the Diebold machines don't work.
yeah, and they're being pulled out now.
Right.
But the second point is this, is when I first read that story about Blackwater being now authorized to protect the president instead of the Secret Service.
Right.
Indira Gandhi, remember her?
Yes.
In, assassinated by her Sikh guards.
Right.
Who had always been... her guards, for, or not her, but the prime minister's guards for decades, 100 years maybe, only until they took some actions against the Sikh religion, and then they just got together and turned around and shot her dead.
Right.
The, so you can see him thinking that.
Right.
Saying, well,
that's true.
I'm going to do something here, and I don't want these guys who have sworn, taken a sworn
oath to the Constitution
and the United States, and get my guys in here around me. Does that not sound like something going on?
Well, you know, the everything that's going on, you know, there was the signing, I guess, in the last 2 or 3 weeks of McCain's torture bill. And
the unsigning of it.
Yeah, well, the unsigning, and he had what's called a, was it a signature statement?
Yeah, something like that.
Basically, it's he signed the bill. Okay, yeah, we're going to sign this bill.
Signing statement.
Signing statement, thank you. Then he attached a signing statement basically saying, well, I'm not really going to, in essence,
this law,
I'm not really going to behave.
I'm not going to do it.
I'm not going to behave. So it's like, what is going on here?
Those had been very seldom used. They'd been used before.
Right.
108. He signed of those things.
Is that right?
108 laws passed by Congress. He said, "Fine, but I'm not going to follow it."
Yeah, you know, this is what's amazing to me is that people, you know, unless people out there, and I guess it goes back to what you've said time and time and time again, Tom, is until it really hits them, probably in the pocketbook, they're not going to care because it's just some kind of abstract thing that doesn't really matter to them. Until their property is seized, and it probably wouldn't even be it wouldn't even say you can't go out in the street and protest. People won't complain about that, but it's when they get their property seized, and that's when it's going
to
happen.
Seized.
Yeah, or themselves seized, or a loved one
next to them that happens to be a relative.
Right.
Even if it was on the subway and it was a guy standing next to you, they wouldn't care.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we're gonna finish this hour up with that, but you know. It is scary where we're headed. People are just so willing to give up their civil liberties and their free speech. And for what? For George W. Bush.
Well, you know, part of that is the theory going around through propaganda is that the closer we get to God, the closer we'll get to the government. Or the closer we'll get to the government, the closer we'll get to God. And the whole thing is being skewed.
Right. Well, you're listening to Left Turn on Bird Street. We're heard every other week on KRBS 107.1 FM in Oroville, California. And we're also, our show is also broadcast on KQRP in Salida, California. Thanks for listening to us. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with another segment.